Hey, we're inside of a new series now. We're walking into it today. I just want to get into it. I love this. I love this season. Tis the season, right? And tis the season to be. Amen. Like, it's just a season. And I love the last three letters of season. Sun. Because it's the sun. It's about the sun. It's the reason for the season, right? It's all about Jesus, the Son of God who came into humanity. And we start early, man, in this country, starting to celebrate the season. How many got your Christmas trees already up? You got, if you got your Christmas tree up already, raise your hand. If you don't have it up, raise your hand. Look at you guys. Come on. This is the week you're supposed to do it. Anyway, I'm sure it's coming up soon. I've met some people that put it up on Christmas Eve. You know what I'm saying? But regardless of when you get ready, we get ready to put it up. And I love the season. 102.5 FM is already possessing every minute of the day with Christmas music. We are in gear, friends, on the road headed there. I love it. I love the season. And how many remember these old nativity scenes? Did anybody ever have an old nativity scene that you put out? A few people had those nativity scenes they put out, or you just drove by and saw it at a house. I love these nativity scenes. I also love how disproportionate the characters are inside of it, where you got tiny little Joseph and the shepherds and the freak-size kings that sit off to the left like giants looking over them. But, you know, I love it. It's a great, great scene. And I thought it would be interesting before we get to the Christmas service, which is on December 21st, where we're going to celebrate the sun. And I'm not going to look at the baby Jesus because this baby Jesus is freaky looking. And I could have swore last night at Wentzville that its eyes were following me while I was preaching. And it really made me miss a couple points in the message. It was kind of scary. So anyway, I won't look at him too much. But before we get to him, before we get to the big advent right there, I want to talk about the other people that were at the scene that night, that were around that scene, one of the greatest scenes to ever light up on the landscape of humanity. And I want to talk about them because they actually have really incredible backstories that show a very important role that they play in this scene that we have. And so I want to start with this individual right here. And his name is Joseph. To me, Joseph is just an incredible individual, and his backstory is incredible. So today we're going to dig into him. We're not going to be long. You                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                            can ask the Wentzville crowd. You can ask our 9 a.m. service. This message isn't too long at all. But I want to talk about him today. How many love engagement stories? Like, you love a good engagement story. And I absolutely love good engagement stories, especially ones with flair, because I don't have one. I don't have a good engagement story. Mine comes with a little stress when I think back on it, because I was really young when I got married, and so even younger, obviously, when I asked her to marry me. And this December next month, we will be celebrating 18 years of marriage, and it's just so cool. Can't believe, where does 18 years go by, you know? And I know many of you have been married longer now. You're like, where does the time go? But, you know, thinking back on that moment, you know, when I wanted to marry her and I knew I was getting ready to head off to Bible college and I wanted to marry her and take her with me and we just begin to prepare for ministry, that I had to do what was right before I asked her to marry me. I had to go to her father. And I asked her father, who is an executive board member of this church now, so I'll be careful with my words, but I had to ask him for his blessing, right? I had to seek out the blessing so that I could get his blessing, so that I could get the permission to go and ask for his daughter's hand in marriage. And I remember how nervous I was preparing for that moment, because you just don't know. I mean, we were young, friends, and it was just like, you know, I know parents have plans for their kids, and you know, you just don't want that altered by some dude coming in. Especially, we don't have daughters in our home, but I can only imagine some dude just walking in and trying to take your daughter away. To, you know, it'd just be a tough thing. And I recognized that, and I was very scared. And so I did my best to prepare the most incredible speech that would lay out just who I am and the integrity of my life and the motives of my heart and what I want to do to take care of her and to honor his investment and take it, you know, and just cherish that and protect it and make her daughter the queen of the world. And I said all these things, and I remember, you know, in my mind, and then when I actually got to talk to him, he said, well, let's go downstairs. I don't know if he knew what I was going to ask him, but I remember we went downstairs. He sat on one couch on the side of the room. I sat on the other, and I just started to pour it out like I would a sermon on Sunday. I just started to let it go, put every effort into it. I remember the amount of sweat that were drenching my body underneath my arms. It was just a moment, and I was pouring it out there, and I was looking at him, and I was trying to gauge his reactions, and he would just sit there with his legs crossed and his hand like this and a finger over his mouth, and he's just watching me as I'm pouring out my case for his daughter. And I ended this 10-minute or so speech with the question, may I have the honor of marrying your daughter? And he didn't reply right away. He just looked at me. Took his finger off his mouth. And the response he gave was not at all the response I was expecting when he said, I'll pray about it. Okay. Do you want to pray about it right now? I mean, because I've already talked to God about this, you know. I didn't say that, but I was totally thinking that. And he said, no, I'll pray about it. That's all he said. It was one of the most awkward get up and leaves out of a room I've ever had. And it was one of those things where Missy knew that I wasn't trying to surprise her with an engagement. We were trying to talk about plans and ready to go to college and all that stuff. And so I said, you know, well, I talked to your dad. What did he say, you know? And I'm like, well, he said he's going to pray about it. Well, he's going to pray about it, right? I mean, this is great. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's great. And so I'm not kidding you guys. Like, a month goes by, I haven't even heard from this dude. And so a month, right? And I go to Miss, and I'm like, your dad has not responded to me at all. Well, maybe, you know, you just need to call him. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Ring, ring. Hey, hello. You got an answer yet? Like, I'm not going to do that. You know, just call him. It's going to be okay. Maybe he's forgotten. You know, I'm like, well, anyway. So I just remember, I'm like, I got to muster up the courage here a month in. He hasn't even called to even let me know what's going on. And so I remember calling him. He answered the phone. And usually I'll call and I'll ask for his daughter, you know, talk to her. But I said, I'd like to talk to you if that would be okay. Yeah, what's going on? And I said, hey, I don't know if you remember, but about a month ago, we had a pretty cool conversation. I thought it was going great. But I just want to make sure that, you know, you're still in gear to be, you know. So I'm like losing my words. And this was the response. Still praying. And so my response was, all right, that's great. You know, all right, talk to you later. And I waited for him to hang up, and I just let the phone just hang there for a minute. Because I wanted to have an imaginary conversation with how I really felt. Because, you know, you got to be respectful to him, to his face, right? But when he hung up the phone, it was like, what? Oh, what'd you say? You're still praying? What? How long does it take to hear from God? Like, are you deaf? I mean, what is going on? You know, I'm just having these conversations. And I'm just like, what is there to pray about? Look at me. I'm amazing. Look at what I would do. Like, how in the world did it take? And I'm just having this conversation. I mean, I'm pacing in my room, man, with the phone. I'm just upset. I'm pacing. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, I was so upset. I wrote a song in that moment. And the song has just now made it on the airwaves. Can you play that song? I wrote this song. I wrote this song right here. I was saying this stuff. I was all over that song, man. Thank you. I finally got that answer. About after 3 months, I got that answer. Finally heard from God. Amen. And they are some of the greatest in-laws. And this past weekend, he celebrated his 60th birthday, and I'm so honored to have them as my in-laws. They're just incredible people. But yeah, I don't have a lot of flair around my engagement story. You know who really doesn't have a lot of flair around their engagement story? This guy right here. There is not a lot of flair. Not a lot of great picturesque experience that you would call the engagement story of Joseph. It's not what you would call a fairy tale situation. And so I want to talk about him because I really don't think that he gets the credit that he truly deserves. As far as the people that were instrumental in the manger scene. You always hear about Mother Mary and the baby Jesus, and every time you hear about shepherds and songs about shepherds and songs about the wise men, you really hear many songs about Joseph or anything like that. There's not a lot of focus on him. I don't think he gets the credit or the props that that man truly deserves because, I mean, if you think about it, all of this right here that's behind him wasn't in his 30-year plan. Like, this stuff was just laid into his lap. I mean, this was not on his radar. You would never expect that. Because this right here, before all of this, I mean, we know the story of Mary and Joseph. And in this season, it's almost kind of worth repeating. I'll be quick on it. But, you know, his fiance was Mary. You know, Mary, the one who, just the very image of her walking into his mind would make his heart beat faster. Right? I mean, you know, remember, the feel you had during the engagement. It was like, you just melt at the sight. You melt at the thought. Like, he'd think back probably every night he went to bed, like what the feel of her hand was in his hand when she said yes. And after he asked the question, and just the view of her in his mind would make his heart melt. He would daydream before all this happened of the experiences that they would have with God, or, you know, and their life and what God wanted for them in their future. You know, Mary, his fiance, walks up to him one day and says, "Baby, I'm pregnant." "What?" "And it's not yours." Look at somebody and say, "Jerry, Jerry, Jerry." You know what I'm saying? Like, what? You know? And it's just one of those things where it's like, well, then whose is it, right? And here's just that news alone is mind-blowing. Whose baby is it? And what's even crazier is the response that comes out of her mouth as he's looking at her and she says, "You want to know who it is? The baby daddy is," are you ready? Drum roll, please. He's looking at her eyes and out of her mouth comes, "Here it is. God's. It's God's baby. The baby is the Lord's." God's baby. You and the Lord having a baby. Talk about faith. Because what that man just heard is outlandishly insane. Outlandishly insane, what has just been told to this man right here. I mean, let's get serious here for a second. When he was told that news, what in the world was going through his mind? What was going through his mind? What would go through your mind? I mean, put yourself in those shoes. Like, you hear that, your fiance's pregnant, you know, it ain't your baby, and she goes so far as to say the baby's is the Lord's. You know, just to hear that. What kind of struggle is going on in his mind? If you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, I mean, Joseph was a good guy, and that's what it says here. You know, fiance, good man. He's thinking about breaking this relationship off. He's heavily contemplating, I've got to break this relationship, but he doesn't want to do it publicly, the Bible says, because there's a reason for that. If the breakup goes public and they ask why, and she says, "Because I'm pregnant," she's dead. She's dead. You might think that's crazy, but you're talking a different time, different culture, different nation, friends. Different culture back then. They did things different. Then it was against the law to do that. It was against the law to have an adulterous affair. Completely against the law. And being stoned publicly was many times the punishment for such a crime back in that day, in that era, in that culture. I mean, look at John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. You got a woman that's caught in the act of adultery, and it says there's a bunch of people around her with what? Stones. They're getting ready to stone this woman, and Jesus comes in and stops it. Says, right? Hey, who's without sin? Cast the first stone. It's a famous place in the scriptures. And so you got Joseph that you got a lot rolling around in his head right here. He doesn't want to go public with this because he knows what it'll do. So you got anger at her for what he can only call betrayal. Like, the guy feels betrayed because you're not going to believe the God story. So you know in his mind you were with somebody else. So he feels completely betrayed. Yet he doesn't want her put in danger because he's obviously, you know, crazy in love with her. Doesn't want her killed. So let's just say this wasn't the Disney experience that he had hoped it would be. But then one day, after that, like super struggling, this guy. Super struggling. Frustration, probably to a boiling point. Scriptures say that this guy ends up falling asleep. So we'll just illustrate this. Okay? Like he's sleeping. We do things hardcore and very, very awesome here at this church. He's sleeping. And verse 20 of Matthew 1 says that he has this dream. Think about this. I don't know how long it even took this guy to probably get to sleep. I don't know if you've ever been like crazy mad or you've experienced that betrayal. Like, some people just can't sleep. I mean, but he ends up falling asleep. Probably weary, just stress at a max, falls asleep, and verse 20 of Matthew 1 says he has this dream. And it's so vivid, and it's so real, that scriptures say that this angel appears to him in this dream. That he has this dream, and this angel walks into his mind in this dream, and starts to talk to him. And it's in this angel's dialogue where he finds that this crazy news that Mary has given him about this baby being God is actually true. That this is a miraculous conception this angel's telling him in this dream. And apparently this dream was so real and so vivid that scriptures say, right, that he wakes up, right? He gets up. He's so blown away by what he has that he goes to Mary and tells her, I got your back. Like, God showed me that this is true. And tells her, I believe you. Think about that. Can you imagine that moment? Like, Marty McFly, please roll up in here and take us all to that moment. Like, I would love to see what that looks like. The moment that he got up and what that looked like. I'm like a sap for romance stuff. But, you know, it's just like, I don't know what he did. Maybe he grabbed her face, you know, and just put his hands on her face and just said, I believe you. You know, I'm sorry. Maybe they were both crying in that moment. Maybe he hugged her and whispered that in her ear. Or, I'm sorry. It's just so awesome. But it's just so cool for him to say, like, in the most unusual set of circumstances that could ever be given to any two people, I trust you. What a man. What a story. But it doesn't end there. See, just because he believed now doesn't mean the rest of the world did. He was the only one who had the dream. Society didn't wake up the next morning and view it any better. Hate began to ensue in on them as news of the pregnancy began to spread. And on their relationship, their friends, their cohorts, more than likely begin to throw accusations against Mary to Joseph. Joseph, that child isn't yours. That means you have a way out. Get out of this relationship. Look at what she's done to you. And you're going to believe this garbage? Come on. She hasn't been faithful to you. I knew she was like that. I knew it. Knew it from the beginning. You ever got people like that that just, they're just ready just to, you know, it's just, the amount of criticism and question and peering that was going to them. But he stood strong in support of what was being placed on his fiance. What a man. This man right here stood with his family in faith, friends. When asked, and you know he was asked by people countless times, how can that be true? Show me the proof. How can you prove to me that this baby is deity? How can you possibly even make such a claim? Prove to me that this baby is God as you say he is. To which his only response can be, I can't. I can't. I can't show you the proof. All I can tell you is that I trust her. I trust my fiance. I trust Mary. I trust her, and I trust what I believe God showed me to Joseph, who, despite society's rules and pressures, took it upon himself to follow the faith inside of his heart, to literally ignore every natural sense in his body. Because please know, when I say every natural sense, I mean every natural sense in his body. He had to wake up every day and ignore that, because you could not possibly put reason to this if you were him. She knows. He's got to believe. You couldn't put reason to that. So he chose faith every day to stand and support his miracle family, who, despite the consequences that would be dealt them, in the context of the friends that would cease to socialize with them, in the context of the noses that would be turned up at them, in the context of the pressure for him to separate himself from this, decided to close his eyes off to the natural and become blind to the natural and open the eyes of his heart up to the supernatural in this situation, because in his heart he had a dream and he chose to believe that. He chose to believe that because of that dream, that God was not just using Mary, but that God was using him to watch me here, adopt the Son of God. So let me echo what I said in the beginning of this talk. I don't think he gets the props he deserves, because this guy took ownership of something I don't believe many would even know how to do. He takes ownership of it all the way to the manger. From that moment in pregnancy, all the way to the manger, he takes ownership of it. Even after the manger, you see how instrumental Joseph was as news of the prophesied king began to make its way into the ears of King Herod, who was nothing but a puppet of Roman oppression. And out of prideful spite in his heart, he was threatened by the news of a baby king, and so he wanted all kids killed. And Joseph was instrumental in protecting that family in that moment. If there's anything that I just want to do in this talk today, that I want us to walk away from this room today, from this talk, is just an appreciation for a man that was extremely instrumental in helping put down a path that you and I so gladly get to walk on with our lives. Because if it wasn't for this man, we would not have what we have today. If it wasn't for this man, the Christ infant would have been killed. If it wasn't for this man, we wouldn't have what we have today. He was instrumental, friends. I think that's good. Let's appreciate those that have gone before us, guys like Joseph, to lay down the road of our relationship with God, our relationship with the Son of God. I honor that man. You know, a big lesson that we can take from this man is just the importance of faith. Because it took the faith of a simple man. This man was a simple man, an ordinary man. He wasn't an elite man. He wasn't high society. He was a carpenter. This guy was just a construction working guy, man, just a carpenter. How many know God specializes in using ordinary people to do extraordinary things? There's not a person that you really see in Scripture that was ever crazy high society. God always reached into the gutters of society and pulled out people that everyone disqualified to be used to make world change, to be used to create greatness into the world. This guy is an ordinary guy, friends, that was used to do an extraordinary thing. God leaned on the simple faith of this man. God used his faith to bring his forgiveness into our world. The power of just faith is so important. To believe what God is wanting to do through your life is so important for you to hold on and know that God wants to use you to do great things. He's no respecter of persons. This man's an ordinary man. We're all ordinary people, right? I mean, look around you. Isn't this not the most ordinary room you've ever seen in your life? We are ordinary people, right? I mean, unless some of you are just extremely awesome and special. Like, I don't know. I don't see anybody. I hope that's not offensive or anything. But I'm just Jim Lovelace. He raised his hand. I'm one of those guys. Don't count me in that ordinary group, brother. Amen. We're just ordinary people. That's what I love about this church. We're all jacked up people, man. But God uses jacked up people to do incredible things. Look at what he's using us to do here in this community. And I'm saying he's not done. He wants to use each and every one of you, friends. For this guy right here, this was just thrown into his lap. But can I tell you, you're going to have situations thrown into your life that are unexpected. And God will use that situation, if you would hold on in faith, to create great things in your life. I took our staff to, I want to ask our worship, whoever is designated to come up and play, if they would, just to come up. But I took our staff to Kansas City here just a few weeks ago on like just a 24-hour retreat just to get poured into and get taught, you know, because they give out so much too. And so I had Doug Reed, who pastors a great church, Inglewood Church in Independence, Missouri. And I had him, he's an executive board member of this church. And I had him speak into our staff, and he was teaching in the basement of a guy's house that we were all staying at. Just a fantastic time. And Doug said, he goes, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but he said, miracles can't really be planned. You can't really plan a miracle. And he said, what's interesting is, he goes, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this before, but he said, all the miracles of Jesus were interruptions. He said he was walking somewhere, and then somebody interrupted. Some unplanned situation came in. Like, the miracles are rarely ever scheduled. They just happen. They interrupt our lives. Ugh. And he's just talking about the importance of having faith in the interruption. And how if you can have faith in an interruption, what God can do if you don't take your eyes off of him. Friends, he wants to do great things through you. And so in closing, I want to tell you, don't walk into these holidays without a desire. Don't walk out of this room today without a desire to be like this man right here. To be like this man, to hold on to faith when everything inside you kind of wants to let it go. To appreciate your family. To love your family, to honor your family. To stand with your family, connect yourself to your family. If you're here today and you're single and you say, I don't have a family, whatever family you have that's around you or your church family, appreciate those that are around your life that God has put you into. And know that you have a role in your home for greatness. Friends, God chose to bring his son into this world being raised by a mom and a stepdad. He loves family. God has plans for you. Your role is important. Joseph had to believe that his role was important. You may not feel like you're equipped to be able to do great things for your family. I think that was something perhaps Joseph may have struggled with. What role do I play here? But he had to believe that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You know, I didn't really see this, and I'll close with this. I didn't really see this until I read this just a few times over the last couple of weeks. And I'm reading this story, this Christmas story, right? And in Matthew 1. And it says that in verse 20, right, like he has this dream. And in the dream, like the angel's talking to him and he's telling him what to do, right? And it says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And this is what the angel says, right? Joseph, son of David, the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I didn't really get that. Like, I'd read that so many times, but I just began to think, like, Joseph's the only one that had this dream. If you think about it, he's the only one that was given what the name of the Christ child will be. It wasn't given to Mary, wasn't given to anyone else. God told Joseph, the man who felt so ill-equipped in that moment, God told Joseph, you're going to name him. And I want you to put the name on this child. Name him Jesus. And he woke up from that dream. And friends, here's the thing. It was a dream. How many know it's easy to doubt your dreams? You can't tell me Joseph didn't go through hell after that moment. Like that he woke up and everything was great. Scripture really doesn't give the narrative between the lines, but I know that there was there because the man had skin around his bones. He probably tried to doubt that dream a few times, probably sat there really pondered saying, was that even a real dream? Like did I really have that? Or was I just like super stressed and frustrated? And you ever had those like huge emotional times and you have this dream experience? Maybe that was what I had. And you know, he walked through these days with struggle throughout this pregnancy, and then he arrives at this place in the manger and the baby is born and stuff happens all around him, and he realizes, I have a part in this. As he walks to the child, kneels before him, and scriptures say the very last verse of chapter 1 says this. I love this. This is how the chapter ends. And Joseph named him Jesus. He followed through with the dream in his heart, and he put the name above all names on the Son of God. You know what I'm talking about. The name of Jesus. The name that in Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, no man under heaven can be saved by any other name but the name of Jesus. You know, in Philippians 2 and in several other places in the New Testament, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Are you ready? That who? Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder what that moment's going to be like when all humanity bows their knee and says the name of Jesus. I wonder what Joseph will think in that moment. That's the name that I was instrumental in giving. God wants to use you. Don't walk out of here believing anything different. He wants to use you, friend. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every person in this room, every single person in this room, young and old. Lord, I don't know what they see when they look in a mirror. I know it's so easy to look in a mirror and see faults and scars and problems and weaknesses, and blemishes, and insecurities. Lord, I pray that they would know that the reflection in the mirror is someone that God wants to use to do great things through. They may see ordinary, God. We may see ordinary when we see our reflection, but you see extraordinary. And I pray that we would know that you want to use us, God. All we have to do is put our eyes on you and hold to faith. Hold to the dream that you've put in our hearts, God. That this world outside these walls will so often try and make us doubt. But Lord, we choose today to hold on to this dream that you've placed in us. I pray, God, that these dreams become reality in everyone's life. Oh, God, that's my prayer. And I know that's the prayer of my wife and my family, the leadership of this church, the people sitting around us in this church. I know, God, I have a family. We all have a family around us that supports the dream you've created us to live inside of. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.